You know why it's impossible? Because you can't be like Christ. Because when Christ came, all that stuff was offered to him. All this power was offered to him. It says, hey, you can have all these things, all these kingdoms, if you will bow your knee to me. And honestly, I don't know how you can be a leader in the temporal sense without bowing to Satan. Because Satan is a higher power. And Satan is a power ordained of God. You just look in the book of Revelation, and someday I'll teach you that. In the book of Revelation, it says, that the beast had power, the dragon had power and power and power. And that word power there, in Greek, means authority. It's exousia, which means the exercise of power. But it's power as delegated from, from God is the power that Satan has. Satan also is a power, as are men. And you cannot be like Christ and be in power. Because Christ's ministry was characterized by refusing those things. It was one of the reasons the Jews the elements of the Jews rejected Christ because, and here in chapter 13, it's also exousios, which is delegated authority. But he refused those things because to do so would be to go, he would not be fulfilling the will of God. And in order to be like Christ, I don't see how I could accept the powers or assume the powers that he rejected. Rulership over kingdoms or leader, being a leader of a nation. And even lesser things. I mean, Jesus totally forsook all those possibilities in his earthly walk. So I think in my earthly walk, I'm supposed to also abstain from such pursuits. I'm not talking about someone who's on the school board or the local water commissioner and those kinds of. I'm talking about positions of power. I don't know how, with the prestige it brings. Jesus wasn't on the Sanhedrin. And so, I do not believe that it is right that I should be on those kind of powerful things. I could be wrong, but to me, that's the way it seems. And of course, I believe it's right. If I saw some other way, then I suppose I could, retract that. But I say this by the Holy Ghost, by permission. I'm not commanding anyone, but I'm telling you, if it is not impossible, it would be extremely difficult to remain a Christian in the true sense of the word and be an important person politically. I think the two things are contrary, the one to the other. Because as a political person, you have to please the people, you have to serve the people, but not in the sense that Christ did, in the sense you have to fulfill their desires to some degree. I'd like to see politicians elected based on this is the guy I believe is going to do the right thing and he's the most suited person to the job, and as opposed to, these are the promises they're making of the things they're going to deliver and the lusts they're going to tickle and the money he can throw my way. I'd rather elect a person just on the basis of I think this man will be just and wise in the execution of his office, as opposed to he's going to follow some ideology, or as opposed to he's going to make good on a bunch of promises of goodies or things he's going to work, which are all just ruses to get into office since we elect our leaders. It's unfortunate. But, you know, I don't think that you can get into that without compromising somewhat what we're trying to exemplify in Christ. Because Christ exemplified rejecting temporal power. In fact, that's, if you look in history of Christianity, the problem, all the blasphemy that's come against Christ for the mixing of temporal power with spiritual power is amazing. I mean, there's so much blasphemy done to the name of Christ because of men who mixed their temporal power with the power of Christ. And when the church first began, as far as the visible church, you know, the organization that had come, you know, 300 years after Christ and arisen, of bishops and patriarchs and so on and so forth, and when the emperor finally recognized them and wanted to give them a place, they ran and grasped it, not considering what a marriage with temporal power would mean. And I see that no good thing came out of that. So historically, I think, and logically, it is a slippery slope and a dangerous road. But as Christians, we respect the powers. See, we aren't the ones who go overthrow the powers. But see, when powers start to war with another, how do you know which side to take? You know, how do you know which power is the power? See, because God raises up one nation and he drops another nation down. Do you see what I'm saying? He, you know, one power, you think, oh, well, I got to stay loyal to this power, right? But what if it's that God has decided that power is now out? Because if you look in the Old Testament and throughout history, God, he raises up one power and then he knocks it down. You know, Pharaoh, for this purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in you. And the next thing you know, the guy's at the bottom of the sea. Or at least his whole army is in all his power. Right? The king of Babylon, he has arose to the heights of all. You know, right? And then all of a sudden, the Persians are coming and they conquer them and they depose them. Right? So, I mean, these powers are not permanent. They're ordained of God, but they have an expiration date on them. You know, the King of England, he was once the power in America. But then God ordained another power would come about. And yeah, a lot of those people consider themselves, they all consider themselves Christians. But there's very little Christ-likeness in the making of war. At least, because Jesus has a war he's going to make. That's on a particular schedule. Right now, he's not making war. He's making sons.